Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. Thank you for being with us on the program. Worldly and past life visions, Atlantis, Lemuria, ancient technology, spiritual sciences. It's the critically acclaimed Legacy Episode series by Robert Maxim. 5 episodes called A Must Read for Every Truth Seeker. The author's real visions of previous lifetimes in Atlantis, Lemuria, and other worlds where these lives took place. The series, 30 Years in the Making, features advanced scientific and spiritual concepts with evidence. For Robert, these experiences began as a child with sleep time visits to other worlds. They continue in both wake and sleep states. He spent 40 years studying science, religion, and the science of life, and works in the field of information technology. He's the author of the Legacy Episode series. Robert Maxim, back with us on This Week in America. Robert, welcome back to the program. It is always a pleasure. Great topics lined up today, so you're going to stay busy for the next few minutes here. Thank you for being with us once again on the program.
Absolutely.
It is so fascinating to have Robert on the program. The backstory, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can get all the past audio shows. You can go to YouTube, get all the past video as well at YouTube. And later in the program, we've got some great video, video you've never seen anything like it before. We'll be playing that during the end of the program. Robert will be discussing it, and then you can see the actual video actually at his website or at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're going to start by taking some questions that we've had over the course of the last month. And if you have a question for Robert, you can go once again to the website, thisweekinamerica.us, comments, and then address it to me. You go to Robert's website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com, and do the same with Robert. The first one is, how do spacecraft work? And we've talked about that over the course of the year or so that we've been doing programming. This really seems to be technologically advanced when we hear the stories, when we see the video, which we'll see again coming up shortly in the program. How do the spacecraft actually work?
Well, spacecraft actually use electromagnetism as a means of propulsion rather than fuels, atomic matter, etc. I guess the best way to conceive it is a formula that I was given when I was 15 years old in a vision. I was told electricity plus magnetism plus ionization equals mobility. Now, with time, it became clear that basically what spacecrafts do is they form a very powerful Lorentz force field, and it's modulated by frequency. The way that the Lorentz force works is, I'll use my hand here. The direction of the thumb indicates current flow. Direction of the hand indicates the direction in which a magnetic field is flowing. Now, palm going up this direction is the location, is the direction of the Lorentz force.
Okay.
So now, what most spacecraft do is they have this electrode cutting through the center of the ship. At the bottom, they have these centrifuges that are filled with liquid mercury. And as they spin, there's a current going through the mercury. And if you follow the hand, right-hand rule, current is basically going this direction. Magnetic field is going, twisting in this direction, doing a toroid-type configuration. And the Lorentz force is going at angles coming out of the field. Now, they have 2-3 different centrifuges going in different directions, and that causes field to converge and work with the central electrode to push that Lorentz force downward. That creates, at the top of the craft, an electron void, in a sense. At the bottom, electron excess. That causes gravitational flotation in the atmosphere. For lateral movement, they use cathode rays. Now, in space, it's a totally different type of function because space is fully electromagnetic. So you use something more like a plasma-type engine. It's still using cathode rays, but converting it to high-power plasma. So that's basically how they operate.
That's interesting. Yeah. The techniques and the principles you talk about there, is that what we see in our spacecraft?
Not at all. Our spacecraft are fuel only. Some of the plasma engines that have been developed to go, for example, to the asteroid field, Ceres Vista, that is a plasma jet type of engine, but it's greatly deficient in comparison to what some of these other spacecraft use. You're talking about not only using physical electromagnetic fields for propulsion in space, you're also talking about going to different dimensions where distance and time is different, and also energies are different. The whole science of travel changes. Those are really, really advanced craft. I couldn't have the entire day to describe that.
Yeah, that is fascinating, and it sounds like what you initially described is a whole lot safer than this fuel and the explosions and everything else that that goes with that. It's a fascinating topic, and you mentioned it at 15, sort of getting these visions, the understanding of this, and we've got a question that, is your work in technology influenced by the great technologies you have witnessed in other worlds? Have you been placed in this life for that reason? I mentioned at the beginning of our program you're involved in information technology. Is that by chance, or is that something that randomly occurred?
It's a randomly occurred. I devoted legacy to share whatever spiritual and technical lessons I had learned over time. Outside of legacy, I'm not inclined to apply the technology I learned for my own personal gain or grant one person, group, business, or country advantage over the other. The important thing is that man must learn fellowship, sharing, respect, and selflessness as a priority over technology. This is the primary message being brought to the people of this planet by beings of other worlds. That is the key message. Technology must serve spirit, not spirit serve technology. And it, all in all, should not be our purpose to gain notoriety, but to send a message of fellowship and self-knowing to those who will listen. That's really why we have been placed here this time.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, that's M-A-X-X-I-M. He's the author of the Legacy Episode Series. The book's available all across the country. Of course, you can find information at Amazon.com. You can link on directly to those links by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Robert's website is rgaetan.com. Also, information on what we talk about in the program at unarius.com. Our past programs are available on iTunes, Google Play, as well as YouTube, and those links are at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So to wrap up that question and move on, this is not something that was intentional where you were placed here for that knowledge of technology. That just happens to be something that you're doing, and you're sharing all of that with us.
Yes, and it's because I have had those technical lives before. A reason why I am inclined to that technology today in an attempt to express it in a more positive way.
And later in the program, as I mentioned, a unique, lifelike, never-before-seen representation of what Atlantis and Lemuria really look like and how they were destroyed. That's coming up in a few minutes on the program. Great video with that. If you're listening by radio, you can go to YouTube and see that, our YouTube channel. You can go to Robert's as well and see that. A question coming in, this is interesting as we talk about all the past lives. Do you ever meet someone you feel you have known in the past? And I will extend that a little bit. Do you ever feel like you've been somewhere where you really haven't been in this life, but you really feel like I've been here before?
Yeah, and Rick, you're a perfect example of that. You and I are old friends.
How far back do we go? How old am I?
Boy, I don't want to give away your age.
Okay, thank you. That's probably just as well. I shouldn't have asked.
Well, I do so all the time, if not everyone that I come in contact with. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of evolutionary years together on this world. So really, the question is not if we have met. The real question is when, where, and how many times?
Interesting. So with people that you come in contact with, you actually can sense that you knew these people from before.
Yes. Now, in my own humble development, my focus is to work out those images that I see within myself. I don't really come equipped to see what other people have done. That's at this present stage of my evolution, that's kind of beyond me. But sometimes I do feel, because of my own association, I will feel, oh, hey, it sounds like we did this together. So in those rare times, I may know something about my relationship with another individual. But certainly, whenever I meet someone that I have spent many years with, I will feel it. I will know it. I will have that nostalgia. The change in my own spirit will happen. It will adapt to those times immediately.
You'll find all of this, by the way, in the Legacy Episodes series, which is available at Amazon.com. Information at our website and Robert's website are Gayton.com. All the information there, it is a novel. It's all based on Bill Sullivan, your life, autobiographical. So a lot of what you're talking about here, we will pick up as we read the Legacy Episodes series. An interesting question came in. How do you interact with more advanced people when you have these visits and you're dealing with how do you do that? Are you able to communicate, or are you just sort of watching, observing, learning? How does that work?
Well, interestingly, we do so without knowing all the time, because our own inner higher self is a more advanced form of consciousness. So we're interacting with a more advanced individual, shall we say, all the time. Now, fellowship, friendship, respect, honesty, those are all key success factors in any relationship and at any level of development relative to our own. We must see the spark of creation in a higher self in everyone that we meet. Now, we should never elevate anyone up on a pedestal or worship them, but consider them as students of life evolving just as we are. Since evolution is infinite, advancement is relative only to our own integration with the higher self. Thus, no two souls should ever attempt to compare each other. Only share what they have learned over their evolutionary periods. As for me, I like to think that my soul is so young that it still has that new car smell to it.
Interesting. I was going to talk about the evolution. We'll talk about that at another time. I've got this video that we need to get to. It's just interesting to get the inside, and you can tell by the questions that we have, and we have more here that we'll carry over next month. And if you have new questions for Robert, just get a hold of us at thisweekinamerica.us or rgaetan.com, and we'll have Robert answer those the next time. Want to leave time at the end of the program for this video that you finished up production since you were here the last time. Talk a little bit about what we're going to see, then we'll start the video, and you can talk our way through this.
Sure. The video is basically, I'll go ahead and get it ready here. It is basically a digitized rendition of what Atlantis and Lemuria used to look like. Also, what destroyed it. So it will show the people, the customs, the dress wear, the locations, some of the technology. And then, of course, there's the sad part also, what destroyed it. And what's even more sad is that we seem to be always going in that same direction. You know, who's going to lead the people? Who is going to be in charge? That's been the problem all along, and you will probably see it here. So I am ready to proceed.
Let's go ahead and start the video. And once again, if you're listening on radio, if you go to our YouTube channel, go to our website, you can link on directly, or go to Robert's website, you can see this. We're seeing it now. Robert, I'll let you do sort of a narration over this.
Sure. All right. I mean,
and the colors are absolutely stunning. The character, this is like a very nicely produced, professionally produced video that we're seeing here. How long did it take you to put this video together?
About a year.
I can believe that.
This it was about a year.
Really well done. And what time frame are we looking at here?
The parts of Atlantis that we're going to see is going to be between 28,000 and 18,000 BC. Lemuria will be between 75,000 BC and about 140,000 BC thereabouts.
It's interesting as you're watching this to keep in mind, this is not something because you'll see with the people and the technology, it's like something you would think recently, then you're thinking, well, wait a minute, this wasn't something that happened recently. We're watching on YouTube. Robert, if you can go ahead and share that with us, we will go ahead and watch the video.
Sure. Here we go. Right. This is basically the last remnant of Atlantis before it sunk. The same with Lemuria. Those are the original locations. And now we're going to see Atlantis.
And this is amazing as you're watching this. My first thought was the time frame. That's why I asked that, because it looked like it could have been done a week ago. Talk a little bit about what we see in terms of architecture and the climate, the people, that type of thing.
Climate was controlled. It was tropical but yet mild. The people you see on the right are masters, and everyone else is considered a student. This is now the coastal region of Atlantis, facing east from a Garden City. This was a center of meditation and relaxation. Where people used to come out and know themselves and be honest with themselves, learn about their own spiritual challenges. And this is Garden City. This is the main city of Atlantis. It was pretty big. It was about 50 to 60 kilometers wide. It was divided into seven concentric circles divided by canals. These are what are known as Valex spacecraft, about 900 meters wide. And these are the power towers, about 70 or so meters tall, using the Van Allen belts to gather energy. And these are more pictures of internal temples and learning centers. Everything about Atlantis was learning, spiritual progress. And now we're going to view Lemuria.
Talk about the climate here. It's different, more tropical, right?
Very muggy, hot, super tropical. Oops. I believe I pulled up a wrong video here.
Okay, while you're working on that, we will... talk about, again, the video you can see by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and clicking on YouTube, and go to Robert's website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com, and get that information. Robert, when you've got that back up, just let me know, and we'll continue talking about that. It's professionally done. It's video like you've never seen before. We're seeing the end, I believe, of the Atlantis video. And these are basically what recollections that you had, correct?
Correct. Now we're coming up on Lemuria City. Lemuria City was made up of eight concentric domes. Each was about 40 kilometers wide, and you're about to see it at nighttime.
The video is amazing.
Yeah, the height of the buildings, upwards of 2-3 kilometers, right in the center. Each of those hubs was dedicated to a core spiritual competency. And this is inside one of the hubs.
And we see basically traffic. What is the transportation vehicles we see there?
Transportation could hold 20 individuals inside. They floated over the streets. And as you can see there were no elevators. We just came up to the building and you went up. So you better not be afraid of heights.
Well, yeah, as I'm watching that, and I am, so I had that sense as we were going up there and that I'm trying to find something to hold on to.
Yeah. Now, here come the scenes of destruction. It all started 100,000 years ago with a supernova, about 8-9 light years from here in Akula.
And this is the beginning of the destruction of both.
Lemuria.
Okay.
Now, when this happened, in about 8 or 9 years, Earth was irradiated with gamma rays. And that basically burnt up Mars. It had some effect on our planet, although minimal. But Lemuria did survive. About 75,000, the remnant of that supernova, which is known today as Schultz Star, came by, and then things began to go wrong. Mount Toba exploded, and that kind of almost wiped out all of civilization.
And we can tell by watching the video that this was a difficult situation. I mean, were we being punished at this point?
No such thing as punishment. We could have avoided this if we had stayed with the light, but we did not. It eventually ended up in nuclear holocaust, where Lemuria and its colonies basically nuked each other out. And we are reliving that fear today by the nuclear arms race. Atlantis, about 10,000 BC, almost the same thing. The power towers exploded, and then everything just went from there.
And the video is very graphic in showing those were perilous times, weren't they?
It was. One thing that science has already discovered, 75,000 BC is what's called the Great Bottleneck. Now, in that Great Bottleneck, mitochondrial DNA shows that right around that time we have what's called the Great Bottleneck. In other words, only about 1,000 breeding human pairs remained on this world. So it was such a catastrophe that only about 2,000 people survived. Now, that's not all. If you analyze the same cell structure in animals, birds, fish, at 75,000 BC, you find the same thing. And that's also documented in Legacy. So it is no mistake, it is no chance that this took place.
This is just amazing. And a lot of this, as Robert just said, was in the Legacy episode series. The video is available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, because we just showed it on the program today. So you'll watch, we're about 15 minutes into the program when we start the video. You can actually see the video by going to Robert's website, which is rgaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N. So a number of ways to look at that. Out of time on this program, I want to talk about what kind of response you're getting to this, because it's just, it's so well done. It's so powerful. If you've got questions for Robert, just go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and do comments and say it's a question for Robert, and we will do that in the future, or go to Robert's website. You can also get information on what Robert is talking about by going to unarius.com. That's unarius.com. Robert, the video is excellent, really well done, a great program today. Thank you so much for being with us. It is always a pleasure. We always learn something, and we did it visually today. That was excellent. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Just one quick note. Make that unariusunited.com. That's where, yeah.
I forgot the United. I'm sorry. Unariusunited.com. I was trying to shorten it, but you're not going to get there by going that way. So unariusunited.com. Or rgaetan.com or thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly. Robert, thank you so much. Look forward to doing this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Most awesome. Thank you, Rick.
It is always a pleasure. Great to be with you again, as I have been for a number of generations. That is interesting. I'm going to try to think this through from my standpoint. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages. We've been talking about the Legacy Episode Series by Robert Maxim, M-A-X-X-I-M. Back in a minute.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.